This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
I want to talk to you about compassion. Compassion from the realized soul's point of view. All right, now, what I'm going to give you today is the definition of what an acharya is. We have different Vedic terms that are popping up in our vocabulary around the world. I'm sure many of you are aware of the movie Avatar. And Avatar is a Vedic word. And that's an incarnation for a specific purpose, an avatar. There are incarnations that are simply the Lord's pastimes. He chooses to do something. And he incarnates to do that. Many of his eternal associates come with him. Certain people are empowered for different reasons. And he comes into the material world. And some of these are called expansions. Some of these are called incarnations. And some of them are called avatars. And you have to get into the details of the Vedic knowledge and the understanding of the Lord's potencies, other than the three basics we cover on this program. And in the avatar category, the Lord does some astonishing things and takes unique forms, a variety of things. Now, in this particular age that we're in right now, the avatar is called the Golden Avatar, and that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya incarnated for the specific purpose of inaugurating the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Okay, now, another word that's in there is acharya. You hear people called an acharya and this and that, but it's a very significant and very elevated term, okay? Now, we'll start kind of at the bottom here, one being a guru. Now, right now, you can get the golf guru. You can get the omelet guru. They've misused the word. And they've applied it to anything to mean an expert on the subject, I guess. But guru means one who is heavy. That means he's not superficial, he's not trivial. He's heavy. He's looking at what matters, and he's able to help you with those things that matter. So the guru and the spiritual master are kind of interchangeable terms. The spiritual master means the guru who specifically focuses on the upliftment and realization of the student, where his concern is answering your questions. That's spiritual master. And guru is one who guides you to get your act together. You did this wrong, try it again. All right, you got that right? Okay, now move to this. Okay, now you got that right? Okay. So it's a bit more of a progressive overview and control and support. And the spiritual master, he is delineating knowledge and information on a broader scale that should be important to you. You pick out what is important to you, and you develop your relationship there, and you get an understanding off of that information that's most pertinent to you. Okay. Then above that is the acharya. Now, the acharya is the person that the Vedic wisdom is entrusted to. And all of the subordinate spiritual masters, all of the subordinate gurus, all of the subordinate students are under him. None of the students, none of the gurus, none of the spiritual masters can ever be the acharya. The acharya is a self-illumined individual who comes and is recognized by others. He isn't equivalent to, and how do I say it? Work his way to the top. That's not it. This person comes, he is a God-conscious, fully realized person from birth. And he will manifest or not manifest his knowledge and potencies according with the Lord's will. Because an acharya is an empowered person directly from the Lord for the protection of the Vedic literature and the guidance and control over all of the other subordinates. So none of the other subordinates ever become the acharya. Now, we're in a situation right here, right now, where Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, is the acharya. He is the acharya, an especially empowered living entity. He was God-conscious from the very day of his birth. He lived a totally God-conscious life, not materially absorbed, not materially interested, simply went through his life, working his way through God-conscious activities, and he did his duties and responsibilities. But then he manifests his potencies in the latter part of his life and totally changed this planet. And he wrote, translated, I should say, he translated all of the Vedic literature into English and had it and supervised it being done into other languages. And he brought the Vedic knowledge to us unadulterated. And this is his grace. And he changed millions of lives, and he still is. And he said, I may leave my manifest body and my manifest pastimes, but I will live forever in my books. Just like we hear today, I'm sitting here speaking to you, and this is live. So those of you who are hearing this today live, you get the potency of live association, shall we say. But it's being recorded, and it will be played again. You can download it off of iTunes, YouTube, Access Radio, Rush FM. There's so many places you can download this program in the next few weeks, whatever you want. I think we had 730 downloads of this program last month. I did four programs in a month. We had 730, I think it was, downloads of those four programs in the month. So those people, they didn't hear the program live, but they got the program as purely as you're getting it right now. Because the recording is a direct reflection of what is being said here today. Similarly, the books and the recordings of the speeches and lectures by His Divine Grace, Spiritual Srila Prabhupada, they have that same characteristic. Just like you sit and listen to the music of somebody that you, your favorite artist, and you enjoy it repeatedly, you get to know it better and better and better, and even you're enlivened by it and you're excited by it. Because it's an actual literal expression of the original. So that is what Srila Prabhupada did. He gave us the Vedic literature purely so that you got the literal expression of what it is, what needs to be understood in proper perspective. So here's my subject now for the day. We've got this, let's call it preliminaries, off of the way. And here's the point I would like to make today. If you are the Acharya, now, we're putting Srila Prabhupada in that position because he is globally recognized as the Acharya and was empowered by his spiritual master and recognized that he was the Acharya. His spiritual master said everything would be done by him in due course of time. He knew who he was. He recognized that he was the next self-effulgent Acharya. So, he's in the position where all of the other masters, all of the other gurus, all of the other preachers, disciples, all of the other religionists, even all the other religions are under him. And his position is to help them, guide them, so that they don't get off the track and they develop love of God in themselves and in others. He is the empowered representative who is giving you the instructions of how to achieve that unadulterated. And he is instilling that need and desire of that movement to develop love of God in all mankind. He's instilling that. So, from his position, everybody's got problems. Everybody underneath him has either a lack of realization, a lack of experience, a misconception, attachments, false ego, contamination with lust or greed or anger or envy, self-aggrandizement. Quite a few things can be wrong all the way down the chain to this most humble brand new student. So what is he going to do? Is he going to start a punishing regime? Everybody who does this gets 2 lashes. Everybody who does that doesn't eat for 2 days. Everybody who does that has to stand in water for a week. Okay, is he going to start a punishment regime to get you to improve yourself? To get you to look at yourself and see the difficulties you're having, identify what is wrong and work it out and start making tangible spiritual progress by your own determination? No. Then what is he going to do? Well, we can take example from Srila Prabhupada's life, and we can mold ourselves in recognition of his method. And his method was compassionate tolerance. If you did something wrong, he would tell you how it should be done right. If you displayed characteristics that were improper, he wouldn't punish you. He would explain to you what are proper. So he moved through his life and throughout all of his disciples on all the continents on the planet, exhibiting compassionate tolerance. Knowing that if you're sincere, if you want to get your act together, if you want to put an end to the suffering that you experience in your life without your asking for it, that you will try to improve yourself. You just need to know, what is improvement? And how do I make it? And how do I correct myself and hold myself up so that I don't fall back down in bad association? So the Acharya mercifully tolerates our foolishness, our childishness, if we're sincere and we're trying. Now, if we're pretending and we're cheating and we're trying to get something out of him or out of the movement or out of some return or recognition for what we're doing, he still was tolerant. He tried to minimize the negative side of, let's say, your character, and he tried to focus on the sincere bit or the correct actions and stimulate them, encourage them, make you focus on them. Now, you can't make your mind void, but you can take it off of something that isn't good and put it onto something that is good for you. So the spiritual master, the Acharya, the guru, all of them are supposed to be doing that, teaching you how to put your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, his name, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, associates, etc. And how to mold your life in such a way that you develop an attraction and an attachment and an awareness of the subtle purity of that spiritual contact. The effects, the loving effect on you of selfless devotional service. So when he sees any one of these subordinates that are acting improperly, he will try to make some contact to correct you. No, it's done like this. Think about doing this in a different way whereby you achieve not only that, but you achieve something more. Try looking at it like this. And he continued to guide and instruct and guide and instruct. Now, there were people who really got off the track, who really did some bad things. And he did chastise people. But he chastised them to stop them from causing problems on others. He still was tolerant and compassionate about things that were imposition upon him. But he was boldly defensive of his one disciple affecting another disciple negatively. He did not tolerate abuse to the Lord. He did not tolerate abuse to the sincere who were trying to spread this movement. And he didn't approve of improprietary actions toward himself. But he took steps when it was against someone else. Certainly he showed his dismay or his dissatisfaction, but he was not intolerant. So we have the situation where someone comes, they come with self-interest, he engages them in devotional service, that starts purifying them, they now do activities that are beneficial, they're engaging in devotional service, they're helping others, they're helping the movement, they're progressing other people's consciousness as well as their own, and then they screw up again. And repeatedly, different disciples fell down, ran off, had other engagements, other problems, other fears or worries, etc. And he always called them back. Yes, you've made this mistake, but it is not disqualification. He says the Lord always remembers any small amount of service one has accomplished. So it becomes permanent credit. And if you accept that that credit is being chalked up by all the good things that you do, permanent credit, as long as you're still registering on the positive side, you may be registering some mess-ups on the negative side because you've fallen away or confused or any of the reasons we've already mentioned. He's tolerant. Now, he doesn't want to be foolish. He's not going to allow you to go on and on and on and on and never be brought to task. You do have to eventually, gradually, progressively correct yourself because you don't get a free ride. You don't get a free get out of the material world jail card. You have to earn it. You have to develop yourself and your consciousness such that you are following the instructions of the spiritual master. You are engaged in devotional service and you are becoming detached from the bodily conception of life and all the bodily relationships and attachments of this material world. It says directly in the Bhagavad Gita, as it is, that this is the one method of measurement of your spiritual advancement. If you're advancing in spiritual life, you will become dissatisfied to the point of disgusted with this material life. You will not be attached. Your attachments will fall away. Now, we have a television system and we have a society system where people are unbelievably, ridiculously attached to trivia. And they are attached to their family because, oh, we were born of the same mother. They're attached to their community. They're attached to the local pub. They're attached to anything that has repetitively been in their life for a period of time. They get attached. So we can see that the attachment tendency is a normal tendency. But to be attached to superfluous things and associated people because of blood relations is immature. And you should denounce those types of attachments and become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His empowered representative. Why? Because there is no permanence in the attachment to the pub and the family. It will end. But attachment to the Supreme Lord and attachment to knowledge and attachment to happiness and attachment to the instructions of the spiritual master is eternal. It only increases. It does not diminish and stop like everything in our experience in the material world. So as eternal living entities, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, we all have an eternal occupation. And the spiritual master is reviving your eternal occupation. So he's very tolerant because he knows you've been taking maybe hundreds of births in the material world trying to enjoy yourself, trying to struggle with attachments, repetitively going through this or that species of life, this or that predicament in life. And you have all these habits that this association brings to you, puts upon you. And so he's trying to relieve you of those attachments and bring you up to your spiritual, eternal, occupational duty and consciousness. So he knows it isn't going to happen immediately. You're going to need help, good association, good advice. You're going to need good engagement. You're going to need to taste the transcendental platform. You're going to need to revive the spiritual interaction. So this, the Acharya is the embodiment of compassion. Because in spite of everything that's going on in the material world, he still remains constant and fixed at delivering the opportunity to render loving devotional service. No matter how fallen you are. Now, this brings us back to the potency of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the incarnation Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the golden avatar for this age, and the incarnation of Srila Prabhupada as the Acharya for this age, that this is a 100% guaranteed win combination. Because irrespective of how fallen you may be, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can be uttered by you. First you hear it, then you say it. It's called hearing and chanting. These are the primary and the most potent aspects of devotional service. So you can begin your spiritual reawakening and lead yourself into following the instructions of the spiritual master and lead yourself into spiritual life, into devotional service that ends up unbroken by starting with hearing the Maha Mantra and chanting the Maha Mantra. And you become aware that you're not alone. This is no longer a personal, isolated struggle. You have the spiritual master with you in his instructions. You have the golden avatar incarnation, Lord Chaitanya, in his instructions of the holy name. And you have the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in the Maha Mantra, in his name. The Maha Mantra is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So there's only three words. The first word is Hari, the energies of the Lord. The second word is Krishna, the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means the all-attractive personality. And you have Rama, who means the opulent king and leader of humanity. So each of them have potencies, each of them have slightly different potencies, and in combination, it is an absolute unique powerhouse mantra that purifies all of the mind, intelligence, senses, all of the misgivings, all of the impure thoughts, all of the impure karma you may have earned. It's all cleansed by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra if you chant it attentively and seriously. Honestly. So with the Maha Mantra and the Vedic literature and the compassion of the Acharya, your success is totally guaranteed. You will free yourself from the cycle of birth and death. You will return to the spiritual world of eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. Now, where are you going to offer, locate, find, dig up any activity that will offer that kind of a result? I mean, you go get a job, you get paid. If you're hungry, you get full. Where are you going to find something that actually stops the cycle of karma, frees you from temporary life? With birth comes death. With death comes rebirth. Getting outside of that cycle. So look at the amazing potency in the hearing and chanting of the Maha Mantra, in the reading of the Vedic literature, and in accepting a spiritual master and following his instructions, and understanding the Acharya can liberate you from that cycle and engage you in the loving devotional service of the Lord. And if you stop, it's your desire. It's never taken away from you. Devotional service is available to you constantly, uninterrupted. So this is the opportunity, astonishing, I should say, opportunity, that's being offered in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the compassion of the Acharya over all subordinates. Now, some of the subordinates get out of line and get arrogant because there's so many subordinates under them. They start thinking themselves to be very elevated, and they fall back into the trap of being important, profit, adoration, and fame, this variety of mentality, and they end up being a problem as well as a servant. And the spiritual master is still tolerant of them and tries to correct them and tries to get them to see proper perspective. And he establishes the temples and centers so that everyone we can associate and help each other sort out their issues. Not fault find, not criticize, not give each other trouble, but constructively analyze a situation and a problem and answer and assist each other along. This is back down to the guru and the spiritual master concept. The one who is more realized becomes a master to those who are less realized. And those people become the master to those who are further lower down the realization level. So there's always those above you and those below you. But there's never anyone above the Acharya. And everyone is his subordinate. So if we understand that, we realize there is an authoritative head to the movement who is empowered by the avatar for the age, Lord Chaitanya. And we understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is available in his Maha Mantra, in his name, his holy name, and is aware of everything. And he is supporting the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. He is assisting all of the spiritual leaders and teachers and gurus, etc. And he's encouraging all of them, plus all of the students who come forth going, I'm suffering and don't know why, and I want it to stop. My heart isn't full. My mind isn't calm. My questions are too many. Anxiety is plaguing me. All of these things. And it's all there in flux because of the chanting of the holy name, contact with the spiritual energy, the positive desire of Lord Chaitanya, the incarnation, to liberate all of the souls of this age, and the empowerment and compassion of the Acharya to accept you in whatever condition you are in and purify you and give you instruction. Follow these simple rules. Chant the Hare Krishna mantra 16 rounds a day. Purify yourself and then others. Expand the movement and help other people who are suffering like you were yesterday. So the Acharya's mercy is what we all ride home back to Godhead. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of the Lord in his holy name. And by the mercy of the holy name, one is liberated and understands the Supreme Lord and returns back home to the spiritual world. So we always offer our respects. Every single one of us is a subordinate to the Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, for this age. There's no one new needed. Everything we require is there. Principally, His compassionate tolerance upon the fallen souls struggling with material nature, trying to revive their eternal consciousness of love of God.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.